Our Heavenly Father, you do challenge us with your word each and every day. We pray now for minds that are open to receive those challenges, hearts that are prepared to take on those challenges. And Father, may we find the great joy it is in not only loving your word, but being obedient to it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How committed are you? I find that quite an interesting, if not odd, question. How committed? Ever been asked that? How committed are you to this job? How committed are you to your marriage? How committed are you to, I don't know, your family? How committed? It's a weird question. I'll tell you why. Imagine you make a commitment to your bank. You take out a car loan, house loan, some sort of loan for a pair of shoes, whatever it is. You take out a loan and you make a commitment to pay the bank back every week or every fortnight or every month, right? You make a commitment. You don't say to your bank, I'm going to be really committed. You don't say to your bank, I'm going to be a little committed. I'm not that committed to paying you back. Do you think you'd get the loan? If you say, I'm really committed, I want to pay it back definitely. It's either you pay it back or you don't, right? You're either committed to that or you're not committed. You marry someone and you commit to love them. Do you say to your spouse, I'm going to commit, really, really commit to this marriage? Or do you say, I'm going to commit just a little bit? That's probably not endearing. You either commit or you don't. You commit to it or you don't commit. Can we be overcommitted? Are there degrees of commitment? And I think we've become used to that sort of language in our society, that there are levels of commitment, that we can be a little committed or a lot committed or somewhere in between. We get used to that idea that that commitment is some variable. But for a Christian, it's a really unhelpful way to think of commitment. Let me suggest that today, if there was one thing we want to take away from today, it's this, that for the Christian, there is no level of commitment. There is simply yes or no. You cannot be a little committed, same as you can't be a little pregnant. You're either committed or you're not. Jesus, in Matthew 5, if you want to open up to it, it's on page 969, at the bottom of page 969. You'll definitely need your Bibles out when it gets to Romans 12 because there's so much stuff in there you'll want to flick around through it. Jesus in Matthew 5, speaking largely to a Jewish audience, he's speaking to a culture who would make their commitments by making oaths, an oath. And they would have different types of oaths, an oath by the earth, an oath by the heavens, an oath by Jerusalem. Different oaths you'd make facing in different directions, and certain oaths were more important than other oaths. Some oaths you could break, some oaths you could never break. And some oaths, there were tricks. If you wanted to break it, you could. But you had to know the tricks. It's sort of like if you can just imagine making commitment with your fingers crossed behind your back. That's the sort of oaths that we're talking about. And Paul and Jesus is addressing that Jewish culture where these oaths, these commitments, had really become fairly wishy-washy. Just like our commitments today do. Because we all make commitments at different times, and sometimes we're sort of crossing our fingers behind our back, aren't we? We make a commitment, but we think, well, yeah, I'm committed to that, unless something else comes up. Is that the way that we are called to be as Jesus' disciples? Even the little things. Here's my favourite. I promised to be home on time, but I got an important phone call just before I left. You committed or not? I promised to do the washing, but that thing was on TV. Never the other way around, is it? I promised to watch the TV, but I had to do the washing. No one ever says that. No. I promised to honour you and love you till death do us part, but someone else came along. These commitments, we find ourselves looking for ways to wiggle out of in our society. And It was no different when Jesus was addressing people in Matthew 5. That's why he says, commitment of a follower of Jesus for anything. A commitment is either yes or no. You're either committed or you're not. You cannot be less committed or more committed or greatly committed. You're either committed or you're not. It's an absolute. Because Jesus says real Christians say yes or no. That's all we need to say. It's our word and it's good. Everything beyond this, verse 37, everything beyond this comes from the evil one. Say yes or no, everything beyond this comes from the evil one. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but if you get an invitation, which I try to avoid, then you got yes, no, or maybe. So you got the Christian, you got yes, no, devil. That's what it is. Anything beyond a yes or no, anything crossing your fingers, any wiggle room you give yourself to back out of a commitment is from the evil one. And I'll tell you why. It goes all the way back to Genesis. This is what Satan does. He undermines the word. His very first trick was to undermine the word of God. What did he say to Adam and Eve when they're looking at that great fruit on that one tree? He said, did God really say? Did God really say you could not eat from any tree in the garden? Well, actually, he didn't say that at all. Satan, here is Satan saying, did God really? Let's just undermine God's word and let's throw a lie in there as well. Did God really say don't eat from any tree in the garden? No, actually, he said we could eat from anything except that one tree. Do you really think he's telling you the truth about that? This is Satan's work, is to undermine the word of God and to undermine the word of God's people. So when we make a commitment and do not keep it, this is the way Satan undermines our yes or no, our simple word. And Jesus says, let's come back to basics. You follow me, you say yes, you mean yes. You say no, you mean no. Short of an act of God, of course, you commit yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. And Romans 12 tells us why real Christians say simply yes or no. Let's turn over to Romans 12 now. I only say it's an important chapter because it just brings so much, like Romans 15 actually, brings so much of God's word together in one very concise passage. It's almost Paul's Sermon on the Mount, if you like. Let's have a look at Romans 12, verse 1. The reason that real Christians say yes or no is because real commitment is real worship. Real commitment is proper worship. And that's what we want to give God. Verse 1, Romans 12. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is true and proper worship. Paul urges us to be Christians who are committed to yes or no. He urges us because of the mercy God has shown us. Because God has shown you his mercy on the cross of Jesus. He's shown you his love. He's given his only son as a sacrifice for you. For nothing, because we don't even deserve it. That's mercy. And because of that mercy, Paul says, I urge you to do the same, to offer your bodies to him, but as living sacrifices. Because of God's mercy, because Jesus gave his life on the cross for you, then I urge you to give your life for him living. A living sacrifice. Following Jesus means making a commitment that our life is no longer ours. It's his. It is simply a yes or no. Either our life is his or it's not. It's not like we can have one part of our life as his, part of our life as our own. It's either his or it's not. And we can trust God, that's actually a good thing. It's a very good thing. But it's hard to commit to God. It's hard to make that big yes once and for all because committing to God means not being able to commit to ourselves. That's the biggest thing we give up. Committing to God's plans means letting go of our plans. Committing to God's will means letting go of our will. Committing, saying yes to God means we often have to say no to ourselves. When we're committed to our way of life, we're committed to our desires, committed to our worldly pursuits, committed to our comfort, we simply cannot be holy. Holy is a very simple word that defines us as God's people, and it simply means set apart. A holy person, a disciple of Jesus, is a holy person set apart for God, not for ourselves. And that is the biggest obstacle to overcome every single day for a Christian. Have you ever committed to going somewhere or doing something that's, you know, fairly important, and then you realise you've committed to something else at the same time? Ever done that? I got caught the other day on the phone. I had a commitment to one of my best friend's weddings, and then I committed to one of our bishops, I won't tell you which one, who rang me up and said, look, about next Saturday. And I thought, oh my goodness, next Saturday. I've got a wedding next Saturday, and I've committed to this other thing on Saturday, and I freaked out. That's what you do, isn't it? Is that normal? You just freak out and say, oh, I've got two important things. And I can't get rid of either of them because someone will really be offended. Fortunately, he got his dates mixed up, and I got it right. Yay! First time for everything. And I didn't have to. But isn't that a hard situation? Because you have to work out which one's more important. Which one must I keep? Because I've made two commitments, which one do I keep? And we often try to get rid of the less important commitment. I'm not going to tell you what that might have been. Sometimes we're able to give up what's less important to commit to what we really need to be committed to. But here's the thing, let me share what I've personally experienced over the past year especially. Sometimes when it comes to commitment, we try to give up the thing that is less important, but instead we often give up the thing or the person we take for granted. Two important things. Which one do I take for granted? I'll give away that commitment. So instead of sacrificing the less important, we sacrifice those we take for granted. For example, we know family is more important than work, but often the commitment to work overcomes the commitment to family, doesn't it? Because we take our family for granted. Not because they're less important. We know they're more important. But we take them for granted. And so we sacrifice them. We know people are more important than money. But sometimes the lure of money is so strong, and we take people for granted. So our financial needs come first, above people. No. Healthy living. I think we could say that healthy living is more important than just having fun and enjoying our life and doing whatever. But often, we take our health for granted, and so we just live it up and live the way we want to live, even though we know it's not healthy. Because we take things for granted. And we know that God is the most important one in our life. But often, he gets dropped second place because we take him for granted. We know he's more important, but we take him for granted. And Paul says in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Just read those words for yourself there. They just need to sit right in the front of our heads every single day. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. This is true worship. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed in your mind by the Lord Jesus. The reciprocal is true. If you are not transformed by Jesus, you will conform to this world. Let that warning just sit in the front of our minds this week. When we're tempted, when we're pushed in our commitment to Jesus, in any way. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. when we are transformed in our minds by Jesus, that transformation leads to sacrifice, which is true worship. You want to worship God truly? Then be transformed. That'll lead to sacrifice. That is true worship. Otherwise, we'll be transformed by the world. Now, I know the kids have gone, but here's a picture that I'm sure would excite them very much. Let me just flick to it. And some of you, I know, are excited seeing Bumblebee, Transformer. Do anyone remember Transformers as a child? And Transformers as an adult? Yes. You never grow out of it. Now, if you don't know what Transformers are, that's Bumblebee. He's a Transformer. He transforms into a really cool car. And they're the good guys, these Transformers. And they're intergalactic robots. This sounds strange saying in the middle of a sermon. We're talking about intergalactic robots. That's what you can tell people on Monday, what we talk about at church. But their enemies are the Decepticons. And so the Transformers hide in normal shapes of cars and trucks and things like that. And when the Decepticons come, the Transformers transform from these normal cars and trucks into these powerful robots, and they battle it out. It's very exciting. Very exciting. Especially in 3D. We cannot be Transformers. We need to be transformed once and for all, and there is no going back. Yet we do this all the time, what these guys do. We blend ourselves into the community until the attack comes. And then we transform, we put on our armour, we raise our shields, we get into prayer, and we fight. And when it's all over, we go back into our shell, back blending into society. And it is not the way a follower of Jesus can be. Be transformed means once and for all, transformed, committed, always at battle with Him, for Him. Never retreating or conforming to the pattern of this world. We simply cannot live that way. Be transformed, it is once and for all. When we say yes to God, that's what we're committing to. Transformation. No going back. Transformed by Him, for Him. And when we commit to Him, when we say yes to Jesus, when we say yes, this is only yes or no, when we say yes, then we are not only committing to Him, here's the kick in Romans 12, we're not only committing to Him, we are committing to each other. And that's why real commitment is about belonging. It's about membership. That's why it's so hard. Verse 5, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to all the other members of the body. Have you ever thought of it that way? You belong to the people here. There's a sense of ownership there, belonging. That's what this community is about. It's different to anything else because we belong to each other as members of one body. We worship God sacrificially and we belong to each other. That's hard work because it's all about relationship work. That's what Romans 12 does. It says you commit to God, that means you're committed to each other and you belong to each other. But then Paul moves us to the end of that chapter and says that means you're committed to God's mission to this world. A commitment to God, saying yes to God, means we belong to each other, means we are out there doing God's mission work in the world. That's what a commitment to Him means. So here's what I want to suggest today, three steps. Is that number one, we make our commitment to God. That's the first step. And it's either yes or no. There's no in between. There's no mucking around with this. It's either yes or no. If you're not sure what your answer is, then you're sitting on the no side at the moment. And if you want to talk about getting to the yes side, then talk about it with someone. But it needs to be resolved now, urged by Paul to do that. We are urged to resolve that issue. Either yes or no to God. The second thing is make your commitment to your church family. Be devoted to one another in love, it says in verse 10. Honour one another above yourselves. Commitment to God means we make a commitment to our church family, God's people. Do you see that you belong to each other? Do you see the need for every member of this body? Because if you've committed to God, you've said yes to this. Just letting you know in advance in case you haven't, but you are committed to all these people sitting around you. belonging to them. And finally, so we need to get this right first. We must get our commitment to God right first before we can commit to each other. And we must commit to each other before we can commit to the work of mission. And that's the third step. Once we've got that right, commit to the mission. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's our mission to the world. We commit to God, we belong and commit to one another, then we go into the world in that mission. And we do that for God because we're committed to Him. Real commitment, real worship of God is real hard. If I can use my English like that. Because that commitment is the cross. It is exactly the cross of Jesus. The sacrifice that God made on the cross for us is a sacrifice He calls for in response. Not to earn it, but to respond to His grace. That cross is a reflection of real sacrifice. It's real mercy, real love, real humility, real patience, real hospitality. And it's real hard. Let's start with that first question. Are you committed to God? Yes or no? Are you committed to one another? Yes or no? Are you committed to God's mission? Yes or no? It's either three yeses or we've got a problem. Let me ask you to take out those commitment sheets yet. I want you to think about your commitment to God, your commitment to each other, and your commitment to the mission. This year, we are focusing on a few particular things in our mission. That is invitation and welcoming and our personal lives of prayer and God's word. On here are three challenges you might like to be a part of. This is just for your eyes. It's for you to fill in, no one else to see. And this is a suggestion. There's nothing holding you to it. It just says, let me read the first one out. A goal for invitation. This is your commitment between you and God. I am aiming to invite, not I'm going to invite, I am aiming to invite how many people this year and how many times? You might say, I am aiming to invite three people three times to something to do with Christian stuff at our church or something. Rather than saying, I'm going to invite 50 people once by putting something in their letterbox, I'm going to commit to three people. I'm going to meet them, personally invite them to three different things this year. Well, pick 10 people. Pick 20 if you like. You might be a really outgoing person who can invite lots of people lots of times. Or I've got 10 friends at work. I'm going to invite them all together every time we have something at church. Or just to a Sunday. How many people can you invite, do you think? What do you want to aim for? There's a commitment. Write it down if you like. How many people could you invite? How many times this year? My aim? I'm aiming to invite 10 people three times this year. 10 people, I'm going to list 10 names down. I'm going to invite those 10 people to three different things this year. Maybe a church service, Easter, Christmas service, family festival. Lots of opportunities. There's lots of nights we've got. I might even invite them four or five. But I'm going to aim for three. 10 people, I can pretty easily rattle off 10 people I'm in regular contact with. I'm going to have at least three haircuts this year. That's three visits to the hairdresser who's not a Christian. So there's three. Everyone's got a hairdresser, I hope. Probably. So, you know, there's one. Goal for welcoming. I am aiming to welcome and follow up how many newcomers this year. Maybe, say, in April, I'm gonna aim the first newcomer I see, visitor, I'm going to aim just to welcome them really well, however long it takes. That's my commitment. So one person. You know, if all of us committed to one person, one newcomer, how easy would that be? Write it down. Goal for personal change. How about aiming to attend a few prayer meetings this year? By few, I mean like 10. How's that? 9, 8, 7? How many can you attend? I'm going to aim to attend 10 out of the 12 this year. Well, actually, there's 11 because we didn't have January. So 9 out of 11. How's that? I'm aiming to commit to regular personal Bible reading and prayer this year. You're going to commit to that? How many times a week could you do that? This is an aim. It's not saying to God, it's actually not saying a yes or no. It's just saying, I'm saying yes, I'm committed to aiming for this. Write it down now. I'm going to give you a minute, and then we're going to sing our final song together. Write those things down now. If you haven't got a pencil, then in your head, put down the numbers if you like. or you might want to add a completely different one. It's up to you. It's your commitment between you and God, and it's something to aim for. It's saying to God, I'm committed to you, and I'm aiming to do your work. Let me give you a minute to do that.